At Blue Mountain Christian University, undergraduate and graduate degrees can be completed fully online across a range of academic fields. From business and education to technology and healthcare, programs are designed for learners who want the flexibility of online study without coming to campus. Courses are offered in 8-week sessions. Learn more at bmc.edu. Move mountains at Blue Mountain Christian University.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us here on AFR. And if you're wondering what day it is, it's Wednesday, July the 8th, 2026. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
And Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Hey there.
All right, so Fred is here, Wesley's here, Ed's here. I'm Tim. And later on in the program, Ed, who will be with us?
Abraham Hamilton III, host of the Hamilton Corner, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Central Time, right here on AFR.
Well, I was hoping, you know, we need one more voice, don't we, on the radio here, so people can, we have four, now we need, Abe will be on, we'll have five. But anyway, so Abe joins us once a week, if possible, and so he'll be on with us coming up in just a few minutes. We hope you're having a great day. If you can believe it or not, we've already passed. We just blew by July 4th.
I know.
Right there.
Huh? It's nuts. We're already closing in on the middle of, I mean, it's the 8th. One more week and we're halfway through July.
But we are officially halfway through summertime for those that are in school, you know. I mean, June and July is the summer.
And halfway through the year.
Oh, my word.
When do kids go back to school, those who go to school?
Oh, I don't care. skin off my nose.
You're a grandparent.
You don't care. Wouldn't be surprised if it's in July this year. My word. Every year.
They keep moving it up.
Yeah. But no, I think...
back in my day... it was... Yeah. Okay, I'm 63. Yeah.
I'm 67.
In the late 60s and through the 70s, we didn't go to school until after Labor Day.
That's what we did. Yeah. After Labor Day.
Same thing.
And we went to school into June.
Yes.
Yep. It's going to be the 5th of August, I believe, here in Mississippi.
5th of August?
At least this is how they do it.
Oh, my goodness. That's insane.
Well, they start high school football season in the middle of August.
Yeah. It's actually, I think, August the 3rd, they'll have one of those where you show up, you get a half day, meet your teacher the next day, kind of ease into it, but they do have their first day, maybe not the first full day.
I do remember going back to school, sometimes we would have that kind of half day thing where you meet your teachers. That was such a great day because you knew you're not going to get any homework, you're going to be able to clown around a little bit, but then that fun evaporated the very next day.
Yeah, if I'm a parent having to take my kid to school for half a day, I'm just going to wait in the parking lot. Because about 3 hours from now, I'll just take a nap and they'll be ready to go home.
Yeah.
I just think that's wrong to do people like that.
Grown man taking a nap in a parking lot with a school full of kids?
Well, wouldn't be the only one, probably, for half a day. So anyway, we always started back after Labor Day. Now, I don't remember going into June. We always finished up by at least Memorial Day.
Oh, my word.
We would go halfway into June.
Taking a school year into June is, I think it's immoral.
Well,
Fred, did you ever go into?
Oh, yeah. Actually, grading day, as we called it the last day, was usually the first day of summer.
The 21st?
Yeah, we usually went to the 21st and then went back after Labor Day.
Mm. Wow. Okay, then. Well, also back in the day, which preceded my day, back in my day, and then day before that, my parents' day, back in the 40s and 50s and that era, they got out of school to go pick cotton.
Yep.
Mm. At least in the Deep South, you know, where they grew cotton. Yeah. Maybe they had other crops in other parts of the country where schools would let out, you know, for a certain period of time to bring in... bring in the harvest.
Yeah, Prince Edward Island.
Yeah.
Up there is a potato province. So kids went back to school early in August, and then they took time off to do the potato harvest.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Different parts of the country, different crops, but kids would get out during harvest season.
Well, we would
Boston,
get out.
In Boston, what y'all harvest there?
We'd get out to go pack cows.
And
once all the cows were packed, we'd go back to school.
And grow pizza.
Boy, I wish.
Some of the schools in North Mississippi start back July the 31st.
I heard that.
Now that's not.
Like I said, this is a moral problem.
This is a sign of the decay of our nation.
Now I'm looking at the calendar. That's only 3 or 4 days earlier than what I said, but that's irrelevant when you have to say we start back in the word. If you use July at all.
Yes, exactly.
I agree. Maybe that's teachers only.
No, I think it's one of those half-day deals, July 31st.
Well, I'm telling you, the communists are all around.
It's time to consider homeschooling, folks.
They sneak up in this craziest places.
The longer we have your kids, the more
the average teacher is not in favor of all that.
You are right.
They want
a real vacation.
They want a real vacation
from those bratty kids.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, bring forth to us our first story.
All right, the 2-day NATO summit is wrapping up in Ankara, Turkey. And the big news really this morning is President Trump and the United States have responded to the bombing that Iran has carried out on 3 more ships in the Strait of Hormuz. We talked about that yesterday. Well, overnight, we had the United States military forces hitting Iranian targets, including air defense systems, radars, and over 60 of those small boats. And so President Trump at a news conference in Ankara this morning was asked about all of this. And I think to summarize his mood, it would be, I am fed up with this Islamic regime in Tehran. Listen for yourself. It's cut number 2.
Is the ceasefire over? Is the ceasefire done? Is the MOU dead?
It's a very interesting question. To me, I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people. And if they had a nuclear weapon, they'd use it. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good people. Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars. We make a deal, and if I make a deal with him, we have a deal, and he goes out, he talks. We make a deal. Everyone's agreed. No nuclear weapon. We make a deal. They go outside, talk to the press. They say, we never even talked about it. There's something wrong with them. They're cuckoo. As far as I'm concerned, it's over.
I haven't heard cuckoo since I was a kid.
Mm.
We used to say that all the time.
He didn't finish it. It's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. at least he stopped right before he got the Cocoa Puffs.
I think what President Trump just said right there was what a lot of people, most people in the U.S. have been thinking for about 2 months now. I know he's in a different position. He's been holding out hope. Yeah. As he should have, that we could reach a peaceful agreement that would save us from war or more warfare, if that's what this is going to lead to. But he just put in plain terms what exactly is the situation in dealing with these religious fanatics over there in Iran, and they've proven themselves to be fanatical over and over and over again.
I think it's the truest thing that can be said about Iran. And the president laid it out. If they had a nuclear weapon, I believe they'd use it. Or they would continue to threaten to use it until they got their way. They would bully the rest of the region into submission because, hey, guess what? We got a nuke, and we're not afraid to use it. And I don't think they are afraid to use it.
Yeah.
And what he just said is, we talked about this morning in our story meeting, not sure which direction the president's going to go on this, but apparently he is going to hit Iran again tonight and has also threatened to take over Karg Island. So this war may escalate.
Go ahead.
Well, for me, when he finished saying it, well, of course, most of the, here lately, for me, I know it's been the case for you all the time, but I'm holding my breath.
You're pointing at me.
I'm pointing a point at Tim.
Talking to me?
Me talking to
I'm
me.
I'm going to do Ed. You talking to me?
Talking to me.
Here recently, he'll start something of a statement like that, and I'm holding my breath for what do I have to go, come on, why did you have to say that?
Yeah.
But the entire, that entire, now I don't know what was played before or after, but that entire message or response to the reporter encapsulated exactly how I feel, and also too, it's a breath of fresh air, and hopefully we don't get anything different to that moving forward, at least for the next couple of weeks. I don't want tomorrow right, we're working right. with them again.
Right. Yeah, he did.
Right.
He doesn't need to come back
2 days from now
and say, you know what?
They're reasonable.
Well, they're some of the best people that we're dealing with in Iran. And,
For now,
yeah.
That was great. And
they're
hopefully.
Cuckoo. He said they're cuckoo. They're, and they're, what else did he say? They're
liars. That's what, scum. That,
yeah. Scum.
When he called them the liars, is how I've been on their line.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Violent. I mean, I think he absolutely properly characterized. I'm glad he was very specific. The people running the country.
That's right.
I would hate to be just an average citizen in Iran having to live under those kooks.
That's right.
So,
all right. So that's the latest from we didn't have the word cuckoo on our card from Trump today on our bingo card. I don't think.
I loved it. That was yeah. That was I like.
Oh,
that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with him. Yeah.
Well, for a second story, let's stay in the Middle East. Rahm Emanuel.
Where it's always peaceful and tranquil.
Rahm Emanuel, former chief of staff for former President Barack Obama. He also worked in the Clinton administration. And they say in the political realms, he's very interested in perhaps being at the top of the ticket for the Democrats in 2028. He is in Tel Aviv today. He spoke at Tel Aviv University this morning. Well, it was this afternoon there. But he did not have much good to say, if anything, about Prime Minister Netanyahu. And he said the relationship between the United States and Israel has to change. Here's a bit of that speech, cut number 16.
For too long, American policy towards Israel operated under the assumption that the best thing Washington can do for Jerusalem is to blindly, to silently stand behind your government without conditions, without demands, without consequences, even when we disagreed. That has been our mistake and has been not a favor to you. Unconditional support has produced a prime minister who has presumed that his strategic interests would incur no political costs if he ignored America's concerns about settlements and sparked a regional war. Unconditional support has allowed you to deny food and medical relief to innocent Palestinians in Gaza, leaving the world to conclude that Israelis not only want to kill Palestinians, but they are completely indifferent to their death, to their destruction, and completely indifferent to their suffering. Unconditional support has girded a political coalition in the Knesset that learned it can burn Palestinian farmland in the West Bank, terrorize Palestinian families without consequence.
So there you have it. Basically, he was repeating the lines of the far left in this country. We know that hatred of Israel is growing thanks to what our kids are being taught in university and other sources. But he sounded a whole lot like those who say Israel is the problem for Palestinians. But you know what he left out? He left out the fact that when Israel has to deal with the terrorists who live in the West Bank and who live in Gaza, they warn people before they bomb. And those terrorists hide behind the skirts of their women and their children. Rahm Emanuel left all of that out. And also to infer that Netanyahu likes starting wars, Netanyahu is forced to respond when Israel is attacked. So he's another Democrat who wants to paint Netanyahu as the problem. And I think he indicated that if he was to become president, Rahm Emanuel was to become president, he would make U.S. support for Israel condition on the political agenda of the left in this country.
Okay. Is he going to run for president? Is that, you think that's why he's over there? The Democrats don't have a clear leader.
No, they don't.
You know, by now, previous years, most people would say, well, the Republicans and the Democrats have this leader. They have a bench, or they don't have a bench, to use a sports metaphor. But the Democrats are, they're out there without a clear number one leader, unless you were to say, well, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is perhaps just because he's the governor of the largest state. But, you know, he's got his own issues. So I don't know who's, if Rahm Emanuel right there, who has experience in two White Houses, the Clintons and the
Obama.
The Clintons and Obama, if he's trying to establish himself as a front runner there, or, you know, throw his name in. Did he say anything to that effect, or no?
No.
I don't think you're going to get many announcements about running for president until after the midterms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But why would you give a speech like, well, I don't know. Why would you give a speech like that? And listen, you know, Israel, in their conflict and war with Hamas and Hezbollah, this would stop if Hezbollah and Hamas would stop trying to terrorize Israel and their citizens. This would stop.
Yes.
The Israelis' attacks on Hamas, which includes...
It's that simple, by the way.
Yes, which includes the attacks, unfortunately, leads to the deaths of, as he said, innocent people in Gaza, because they're citizens, and the terrorists fight and hide behind schools, mosques, and hospitals, and they use terrorist acts. And so, when Israel goes to fight them, there's not an army standing up to say, "Okay, let's mano-mano, let's go." No, Israel has to use unconventional warfare, and sometimes innocent people die, and that's when it's all over the videos and all over the news. It's but you know, it seems like the international community, if that's what you want to put it, pays an inordinate amount of attention to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We got human rights abuses, if that's what you want to call what Israel does, which I don't agree with, but that's the way it's framed. All over the world.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. We got the Chinese persecute their own people.
Oh, yeah.
And they also have been in...
There's a Muslim group.
The Uyghurs.
The Uyghurs, yeah.
Yeah, you don't see the media all day, every day going, "Hey, China, you know, quit killing the Uyghurs.
Yeah.
We need to focus on this." They're just...
In Africa,
huh?
There's tribes that...
Boko Haram.
Boko Haram terrorizing Christians in Central... killing, slaughtering girls, and it's just awful what they're doing. The Muslim terrorist group there in Africa.
And they don't spend the same amount of time about how Hamas is fighting either.
Yeah. Why do you think this is, Fred?
You're exactly right in your assessment. In asking those questions, and I think the only answer is a spiritual answer. There is no rational reason for the hatred of the Jewish people and Israel. No rational reason whatsoever. They respond to attacks from terrorists. The terrorists who say, "We want to wipe you off the face of the earth."
Yeah.
So it has to be spiritual. The Jews are God's chosen people, and the Satan's crowd hates them.
Well, yes. One other thing about that. Iran has slaughtered like 30 to 40,000 of their own people.
Yes.
And these same lefties who condemn Israel for, misfiring at a hospital and killing five children, and the Palestinian children, which that does happen. I'm not denying that happens. It's sad. But it's war. They don't say a word about Iran. Iran threatened to build a nuclear weapon, or butchering their own people. So Ed, why the inordinate attention to every little thing Israel does here?
Well, I think you guys have laid it out. It is a spiritual thing. Do you really believe that?
Spiritual.
I have two epic things I'd like to say.
Well, I'm going to write them down.
These are epic.
I'm taking notes.
Okay. No, they're not really epic, folks. But I did get your attention, didn't I?
Hey.
Yes, you did.
All right, two things, okay? I have become increasingly frustrated with AI videos. I know this sounds trite. I'm getting to a point. Because I can't tell what's real anymore. And in the news, it is becoming increasingly difficult to figure out what's real. Huh. What Rahm Emanuel was saying, talking about denying food and supplies and medicines, he's referring to the fact that Israel was stopping ships from coming into Gaza, this was before the war, to search for missiles and would turn away ships if they had military supplies. And when people hear Rahm Emanuel talk, it's becoming increasingly difficult to find out what's true. Is that true? Israel was turning away ships with supplies, with medical supplies and stuff for those poor people. Well, what Rahm Emanuel didn't tell you was that was a cloak for getting military supplies to the terrorists in Gaza. Uh-huh. Okay, so the first thing is, it's hard for us to tell what's real and what isn't. A pitch for you guys who are listening to make sure you pass along American Family Radio, AFR. Tell other people about what we're doing here. We're trying to cut through all that junk. And the second thing I noted about this is, Tim, I think Rahm Emanuel, he hasn't officially said it, but he probably is going to run for president. Look where he positioned himself.
I know.
He's a Jew. Yes, he's Jewish. And so he's positioning himself with the radicals in the Democratic Party who hate the Jews, ironically, him being Jewish, and who are pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel. And if that's going to be the direction of the Democratic Party, we have been suspecting it is, what about the Chuck Schumers in the party? That you've got a potential presidential candidate, flag bearer for your party. His first big speech, he's anti-Israel? Wow.
Now, let me just say this about the part of that talk we heard from Rahm Emanuel in Tel Aviv. I don't know what all else he said, because it was probably a lengthier speech. So he may have said some other things that were pro-Israel. But
he did note what happened on October 2023, that was terrible. He acknowledged that.
Okay, let me just say this, too, about that. And I'm no expert on warfare by any means. I haven't served in the military. I'm a student of history. But when Hamas went into Israel's and the music festival in that October, the what was it?
7th.
And they slaughtered, just butchered and slaughtered in the most horrific ways, and then took the hostages. How many they took? 100 or whatever it was?
250.
250. They
women and children.
They butchered these people like they were animals for sacrifice. I mean, it was just unimaginable what they did to people. And they didn't discriminate. My question is, when you kill 1,100 or 1,200 citizens of a country, and a country decides to retaliate, since when do we put handcuffs on the retaliation? Since when do we say, okay, we're going to let the country that started this, that murdered all the Jews, we're going to let them dictate the terms of how Israel can react. Imagine if
Mexican cartel came.
Yeah, let's say imagine the Mexican cartel came over and slaughtered 1,100 or 1,200 people in El Paso, and then the United States went after them aggressively. And then the world condemned us and said, no, you got to stop it. Quit it. you have no right to retaliate.
Or imagine if Japan attacked our Navy at Pearl Harbor and killed 2,300 Americans.
And then the world,
and then the world said, the you world, can't go to war
yeah,
with
the
them.
World said Japan will decide how you can retaliate. Yeah. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday. 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live. Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. What story will God write through America's next generation? In honor of America's 250th anniversary, we're asking friends to consider a special gift of $250. Your gift can help provide nearly 9 life-saving ultrasounds. Dial hashtag 250 and say the keyword baby. That's hashtag 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Every gift is tax deductible.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We are going to Italy in March of 2027. We're also going to Greece in March of 2027. And we're doing those tours back to back if you want to do both of them. In Italy, we'll be going to Venice, we'll ride the gondola and see all the sights there, and we'll go to Pisa and walk on the Leaning Tower of. If you fall off, we're not responsible. Also, we're going to Rome and see the Sistine Chapel and the Colosseum and all the catacombs. We'll see all the sights of Rome. And in Greece, it's the Footsteps of Paul trip, so the places where Paul went in the Bible mentioned in Greece. If you want information on any of these tours, go to tours.afa.net, tours.afa.net, tours.afa.net.
God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. James 1:12.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, we decided, well, you know what? We need another person on this show. We need one more so we can top The View. Okay? They got 4. We're bringing 5, baby.
Well, my grandkids sitting around eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, that tops The View. Just what they're talking.
Oh. You mean that dynamic?
In terms of content, intellectual.
Watching your grandkids eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Yeah.
Or more exciting?
Yeah.
It's more exciting
more
than
exciting,
The View.
More to the point.
And has more content.
More content.
Than The View.
Than The View.
Okay. Abraham Hamilton III joined us. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Hey, before we jump into whatever it is we're going to talk to Abe about, maybe multiple topics, I wanted to, we were on a, back to a more serious note. One of the accusations against Israel by the political left in this country and other places in the world, but they use the word against Israel, genocide. You'll hear this over and over and over again. That's the rally cry for people who hate Israel. All right, genocide. And listen, I don't know anybody that's pro-genocide. I've never.
Unless you're a Nazi,
huh?
Unless you know you're a Nazi.
Well, do you know any Nazis?
I don't.
Okay,
but according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're all over the place.
Graham Platner,
running for Senate.
Oh, the Senate guy. with the Nazi tattoo.
Well, you wear a tattoo.
Well, you're right. The Southern Poverty Law.
He didn't know what that tattoo meant. He didn't know what it meant, Fred.
Okay. He didn't know what he meant. He was drunk.
Especially when he took it off his shirt and all right. the bars.
I'm just going to say.
He just chest.
There are reasons why I don't take my shirt off. I'm not saying I have a tattoo. It has nothing to do with the fact that my body looks like melted ice cream.
Okay.
So, but maybe I have a tattoo. We didn't need that picture.
We didn't need that image. Okay.
Well, leave it up to Ed to turn the corner
here.
You had a point, Dad.
You see what I deal with, Abe, on a daily basis? I try to keep this show on point. See there?
Yeah.
He did it again.
All right. I will control myself. My apologies to all you fine
folks.
Can we
rewind about 90 seconds? Let me start over. And on a serious note, seriously serious, okay, the accusation against Israel is that they're committing acts of genocide in Gaza. All right. There is a war against Hamas, a terrorist organization recognized as so by the international community, funded by Iran. And their charter is to drive Israel into the sea, that is, to destroy the country of Israel, and they deny their right to exist. Now, so Israel's been dealing with that for decades and decades. Now, genocide is an extremely serious charge, and it has taken place over human history, all over the world, many, many times, okay? What was it, the one that we got into with... when Bill Clinton was president over in
Bosnia-Herzegovina.
In the Balkans. Yep. What was that?
Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Right, but that was a war between what? Muslims
It was Christian Serbs and Muslims.
And were the Christian Serbs that were accused of committing genocide against the Muslims there?
Right.
Okay,
and so we went to war on behalf of the Muslims.
That was the accusation, and yes. Bill Clinton sent in some warplanes, and we did some bombing, too, and called us in. Okay.
Did you say we went to war on behalf of the Muslims?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did, because that was remember we took that strongman out. Anyway, I'm diverting, but I'm bringing up recent examples.
You got it going on right now in Nigeria.
Okay, go ahead.
But you have the effort by the combination of of Boko Haram, who is seeking to establish an Islamic caliphate in Africa, along with the Fulani herdsmen, which is also the tribe that is populating the government, attempting to annihilate the Christian witness or the Christians in Nigeria right now.
Right.
It's happening now.
Okay, so this is going on, as Abe just cited, all over. There's no attention given by the left-wingers in America, the media here on what Abe just described, very little. You'll see it occasionally in the news.
Christian sites primarily, Christian radio outlets, television outlets, and not many mainstream places.
But here's my point. What Israel is doing against the Hamas and Hezbollah organizations, terrorist organizations, is not genocide, even by proper definition. I'll tell you why. Israel is being genocide would be saying that Israel is killing people systematically in Gaza because they're Arab.
Yep.
Or Muslim. Okay, now we know that being Arab is ethnic and being Muslim is religious. Mm-hmm. So people aren't Muslim by ethnicity.
With the expressed intent to eliminate them in total.
Yes. So if that were true, if Israel were really getting into genocide, then explain to me why 20% of the population of the country of Israel is Arab. Allison, my wife, is in contact with our tour guides that we use every time we go to Israel. And they live there in Israel, and they're Arabs. They're Christians, which is primarily why we use them, because we want our tour guides to believe the things that we're seeing.
Right.
You know, and tell the Christian story. Nothing against Jewish guides, but we've used Jewish guides in the past over the last 30 or 40 years, but we prefer Christians don't care if they're Messianic or Arab or you know, but these gentlemen are Arab Christians. And you know what they're worried about in communicating with them? They're not worried about Israel. They're not worried about the Jews storming their home. You know what they're worried about? Drones from Iran.
Right.
They're worried about, they live in the northern part of Israel. They're worried about Hezbollah rockets hitting their homes. These right. are Arabs.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So I'm saying it's a misuse. Genocide is an extremely emotionally charged accusation, which gets people's attention. They go, Israel's committing genocide. Well, we need to stop that. Well, hold on just a minute. It is war going on against Hamas and Hezbollah, but it's not genocide.
Otherwise, they'd be killing all Arabs.
Indiscriminately.
Right.
And this is the same nation you mentioned, what, 20-plus percent of the population is Arab.
Yes.
It's the same nation that, if you recall, not too long ago, under Ariel Sharon, the Jews forcibly removed Israelis.
From Gaza.
From Gaza.
Right.
So they could
to
get
allow
them, yes.
Arabs to move in.
Yes.
I don't see how you reconcile that with genocide.
Right.
And then you also have the just, you know, the truthful reality that the only reason why there's war going on currently is because Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th.
Right.
If there is no October 7th, there is no
right.
war being fought
right.
currently.
Right. 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 Right.
And by the way, it was Slobodan Milosevic. Was the
right.
head of the Bosnian, in the Yugoslav wars? I forget the.
But there was a war there between the Muslims and the
Serbs.
Serbs. So listen, folks, it's a sinful world we live in, and it's and the consequences of man's sin affects every single one of us, and sometimes. Sometimes the good side does make bad decisions, and that happens in warfare too. But just all the attention on Israel when, as Abe described, things going on in Africa. We've talked about how the Chinese treat their own people. These things seem to get no attention at all. It's just Israel. And Abe, let me ask you this: you and I haven't talked a lot about this. We've been friends, known each other a long time. You've done many Bible teachings here. What is your theological, does your theology and your eschatology factor in at all to what we're seeing in the Middle East and Israel or not?
Well, yeah, it does because.
Be careful because Fred right here.
Oh, I know.
And you know where Fred is on all this, right?
Well, I know, but
I'm just
I don't need
I'm just,
to be careful.
I'm just teasing. There's
yeah.
not much daylight between
yeah,
y'all.
No,
I'm sure.
I just stay
yeah.
with the Bible.
Yeah.
And but what we're talking about is not logical. So the point you raised, accusations of genocide against Israel, a nation that literally populates its parliament with Arabs, literally
right.
its population is comprised and includes Arabs in their population. They literally forcibly remove their own citizens to allow Arabs to have territory in
right.
their own territory.
Right.
It's an emotionally charged accusation that it's made for the express purposes of having people's emotion to override their capacity to reason.
Right.
And when you see such an illogical phenomenon, when there are real instances of genocide that are transpiring that get barely a whisper of attention, this defies logic. It moves over into being a spiritual issue.
Okay, and that's what I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
So you think this is – I'm not asking you to pinpoint a Bible mm-hmm. prophecy that applies here. I'm just saying to you, you think the fact that the world is still hating Jews spiritual issue.
I do.
Now, the Jews don't believe in Jesus Christ, so does that matter?
It does matter, because the Bible tells us that there are a portion of the Jews that will come to faith in Christ, as the Apostle Paul talked about, Romans 10, 11, 12.
Okay, because I hear that sometimes. People
yeah.
say, why do you care so much about Israel? The Jews don't even believe in Christ. Why do you care about them? Why do you care about
yeah.
that? So I hear that.
Because I care about God, and I
yeah.
care about the Bible, and
non-believers.
Because the Word of God is true. And I do think that you're seeing some things happening, like the contingent of Messianic Jews has increased exponentially. There were a time where there were far fewer Christian churches in Israel than there are now. And so what I'm saying is
I think around the world, the Messianic Jewish movement has
expanded
yeah.
quite a bit. And while I do know that Orthodox Jews and things of that nature deny Christ. Ben Shapiro denies Christ. I talk about that
right
on my show all the time. I think it brings cause for concern to have kind of the intellectual heft of so popular conservatism to be void of Christian witness. I think that's a problem. And so I do think it's important to take note of that as well. Because of what I'm saying about Israel being a spiritual issue doesn't keep me from being able to make accurate observations when Israel, as a nation, national, modern government, does things that I think are wrong. And I will say that
right.
as well. It doesn't
right.
prohibit that criticism.
As we do our own country.
As we do our very own country. As right. the Lord did concerning the Israelites in the Bible.
Right.
You know, so,
yeah, a few times.
Quite a few times.
Yeah.
Quite
another
few
high
times.
Place, people?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, another high place.
We're going to do it again.
You,
that's
you
wanna, what I would have been saying.
You want to get depressed, read the book of Judges. That's what I'm studying right now. It's like, oh, my goodness. You know, but the reality also, though, the Lord does talk about the fact that the Jews are hardened for a season.
Yeah.
That the full number of Gentiles will come in, and there's a future time when there will be a portion of the Jews whose eyes will be opened to behold him whom they have pierced and will receive the Messiah. That's what the Bible teaches. And so
yeah.
I just happen to believe the scriptures.
All right, Fred, tell me where Abe's wrong there.
You're not wrong at all.
Okay, brother.
That's it exactly.
Amen.
Ed and I, Wesley,
don't look at me.
No, Ed and I, Wesley is trying to figure out where we're supposed to fall in line here.
I agree exactly with what he's saying
yes,
about the future of Israel.
Absolutely, and I'm teasing about disagreements, but I'm just saying within the Christian community, sometimes there are disagreements on eschatology and prophecy and end times, but...
So you were trying to get Abe in trouble or what?
No, I was trying to.
What's your? I'm about to get serious.
You go ahead, Wesley. You're invited to participate, and then Fred, Wesley, I gotta let my son go because I gotta.
I think what you're referring to is the growing theological flaw in the young conservatives in replacement theology.
That is a problem.
It's
yeah.
a big problem. Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, they replaced the church with the Israel's place in Bible prophetic.
Yeah, they said the church replaces Israel.
Go ahead. Total. But you're right. That is a go ahead, Fred.
Well, I go back to the unconditional covenants that God has made with the Jewish people. Has he punished the Jewish people? Of course. You read your Old Testament.
Or they punished themselves by rejecting Jesus Christ.
But God used the Assyrians to punish Israel. God used the Babylonians to punish Judah when those Jews turned against God.
Egyptians.
But it doesn't do away with his unconditional covenant and the promises, as Abe was alluding to, for the future. Revelation chapter 7. Talks about 144,000 Jewish Jesus believers.
I think that's Jehovah's Witnesses. I think you got that confused, Fred. Am I right? Am I right, guys?
No,
you're not right.
Tim.
But that was funny.
I'm not right.
Hey, let's try to get this back on track, Tim. Okay, I'm always trying to get this discussion serious here.
Okay.
Carry on.
There you are. Go ahead, Fred. Continue.
So if God has turned against the Jews, he's broken a promise. And our God doesn't break promises. Mm-hmm. You go back to Genesis when the Spirit of God walked between those cut up animals and he put Abraham asleep. And it's unconditional because God said, a human being will mess this up. I've got to make these unconditional promises because he wants to manifest himself through the Jewish people. And that's how we know, that's one of the reasons we know there is a God in heaven and that the Bible is true, because how he has sustained and maintained his relationship with the Jewish people and will continue to do so. It goes back to what we talked about a few minutes ago. It is totally irrational, the hatred of the Jewish people, and for the world to pick on Israel for simply defending itself.
You know, the nation of Turkey, it's to me an irrefutable historical fact that the nation of Turkey tried to eliminate the Armenian people,
mm-hmm.
the Christian people. And that was an absolute genocide, mm-hmm. and most of the nations in the UN will not formally recognize that as a genocide.
Yeah.
Okay. So when some of these countries like Iran and others, and even countries, now the European countries have recognized it. United States has as well. But it's funny that a lot of people jump to the genocide word when it comes to Israel,
right,
just defending itself.
Right.
But when Turkey absolutely tried to eliminate the Armenians as a people group, everyone goes, well, I'm not sure it actually happened.
Hey, when was that?
That was in the early parts of the 19th. I think that happened, might have even happened before World War One.
Okay.
But it also continued through the parts of the early parts of the 1900s. We're talking about millions of people.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other thing I would just mention, we kind of were talking before this segment, some of us were discussing the fact, and Abe, you can jump in here if you want. You were one of the ones who was saying it, Tim. You and I were talking about it on our way back during the break. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would not have been able to conceive of the current political climate allowing a biblical fulfillment of the all-out war against Israel that we see about the end times. I just wouldn't have seen that happening. The U.S. still strong, being a defender. In fact, a lot of people said, well, for all these scriptural prophecies to come to pass, the United States will have to be on the sidelines. Perhaps the nation collapses or doesn't exist. That's the only way this war could come about against Israel. Now we're seeing a movement inside our country that might mean the United States does exist, but joins the people in criticizing Israel. I'm telling you, we're staring full in the face. It looks, unless the Lord, you know, postpones it, where we could be seeing a biblical, prophetic war against Israel, maybe in our lifetimes, but perhaps in the lifetime of some of our younger folks.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, Fred, and Abe's in studio with us. You know, about that, too, I wanted to say, you mentioned, Wesley, something called replacement theology. Mm-hmm. This is like a course explaining and the nuances and the
nuance. That's a good word.
And then diving into the various and sundry, if you can call Bible verses and Bible stories sundry. I don't know that you can, but different places in the Scripture that says different things, especially post resurrection, and so. So that, Abe, I want to ask you this because people were saying, well, I thought Christianity ended Judaism basically as a way to God. So here's what I want to say. So to those who are going to say replacement theology or lean that way, they're going to cite some Bible verses where the covenant, as you said here, Fred, the covenant between God and man, generally speaking, mankind, not Jews or whatever alone, did open up to the Gentile world, mm-hmm, because Jesus Christ came for everybody who would believe. It doesn't matter what skin color you have. It doesn't matter what your family name is. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, how much money you have or don't have. The gospel of Jesus Christ says that Jesus was sent for all. So the covenant now with God is between an individual and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So doesn't that do away with Abraham, the Old Testament, Abrahamic? It's your name. It's your name. You tell me how to say
it's
it.
Good name.
I'm sorry. I'm
Abrahamic.
I'm
messing with you.
You are messing with me, and I'm struggling enough. Did I say it correctly?
You did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah. I said correctly was a covenant. Doesn't that dismiss that or do away, yeah, with that?
Jesus said himself he didn't come to abolish the law but to fulfill it, right?
Okay.
So what we need to understand, and I'll try to do an analogy with the Noahic covenant with Noah, right? God made a covenant with Noah, signified by his bow in the sky, that he would never deluge the earth again with water, to destroy it with water. That covenant doesn't mean that all human beings are automatically saved. You see, that enduring, unconditional commitment from God not to judge the earth in this fashion is not synonymous with every single individual on the planet being born again. Where there's a conflict often is that we conflate God's unconditional promise with the Jews with saying that as a result, then everybody is therefore saved that is Jewish. And that is not true.
Right.
Whether you're Jewish or Gentile, there is only one name under heaven by which men must be saved. So even the Jewish people can only come to faith through Christ Jesus, which is why the Apostle Paul explains that there will be a remnant that will come to faith in Christ ultimately when their eyes will be opened and things will happen. But in the meantime, those who reject Jesus will face eternal consequences for rejecting Christ Jesus. So God's unconditional promise to the Jews, which, by the way, the Lord's reason for establishing the Hebrew people was that through the Hebrew people, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's Genesis 12. You know, Abraham was not a Jewish person. He was Babylonian from Ur of the Chaldees. God calls him out, and the local Canaanites called him Eber when he arrived in Canaan, which is where you get the term Hebrew from. It's a derivative from Hebrew, which means he's from over there. He's not native to this land, but he's here now because he's from elsewhere.
Like
God explains in Genesis 12 that through Abraham and his family lineage, which ultimately culminates in Christ, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So when we say the New Testament reality that it is through Christ that whosoever will let him come, that was God's design from the very beginning. So God is not making an about face. He is executing what was planned from the very beginning, that through the Jewish people, the Messiah comes for all.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You know we didn't get to anything that we asked him we were going to talk about, right?
No, but that happens regularly on this show. We just...
I had one question.
We have a plan. We try to stick with the plan. And then
I get us off topic.
And Ed starts going off on, I love you, brother, but you start taking us in different directions.
Oh.
And we never intended to go. And I'm sitting here going.
It's a good thing we're up on a break here.
It's a fault of mine.
I'm sitting here thinking.
My wife agrees with you.
We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.